Beam us up, Scotty! Because it's time once again for this galaxy's favorite show, Azoid Starbolt, Space Android! Yes! Welcome to episode one of chapter two in the ever-cryptic annals of that robust robot, Azoid Starbolt, as he and his tasteless comrades combat crime across the cosmos. If you miss chapter one of this series, fully transcripted, inscribed, autoerotic copies are available. Just drop a self-stabbed, self-defaced envelope into a self-depressed envelope about the size of a beer can, and we'll give you the numbers a little later. As the rest of you will remember, at the end of chapter one, Azort had successfully thwarted the evil Belphod the Nebulous and his ally, Transporgro. Let's join him now as he and What the Laugh amble aimlessly through their lovely Earth garden on Pentel 4, dogged by a mangy pup reporter, eager to dig up a story on our own superhero. Let's join him as we begin part one of Magneto's Mistake.
Well, I'm no bird dog, but I'd say that was mighty nice humming, Mr. Starbolt, sir.
Get to the point, pup.
Don't point! Well, sir, you see, I'm from channel BARK9, and we've been wanting to do a big special on you for some time now. You know, prime cut time, Trivee. Get down to the meat of the story with a show that cuts to the bone.
Sounds pretty boneless, Ham. What was your name again?
Doug Kennel.
From Bark 9. Sounds like a hairy tale to me.
That's for sure.
Well, it can't hurt, I suppose, but I'm going to have to ask you to heal.
And even when the stars were made of cottage cheese, they didn't have enough, and elastic bands were worn over earlobes, and many a household appliance never got fresh fruit. Aren't you glad you're not back there? Don't you want to keep it that way? Send your security dollars to the present care of this station.
A Bark 9 special report. Azoid Starbolt, superhero.
I'm Doug Kennel, and tonight's special report is on space roving robot Azoid Starbolt, hero of the cosmos and savior of the known universe from the infamous and totally scrupulous Belphod the Nebulous. Azoid is also known for his weekly talk show, a series of delicate and hauntingly beautiful etchings, and his astounding ability to tame a Darien mole dog with only a short stick and a jar of Vaseline. But what about Azort's beginnings? Where do superhero androids come from? The Selde Ocean Android Works on Bromphal 4. From Bromphal 4, Azort enrolled immediately into the Intergalactic Starfighter Superhero Academy and Chinese Takeout, situated just outside the Arcturian Spider Shield on Vega 8. I visited there recently and spoke to the Academy's proprietor and short-order cook, Gantro Tungsten.
Oh, yeah, Azoid was a good student. Yep, trained with the best of them, killed his quota. Did a few deliveries, too. A good kid, but weird.
Weird? In what way?
Crazy things, you know. Used to wear this cape and this kind of helmet and charge around waving a laser at everybody and yelling how he was Meteor Man or something and was going to turn us into lizard droppings because we squealed on him to the High Council of Farndor. And, well, anyway, I occasionally had to steal his power pack and sit him in a corner because he was chasing customers away and ruining the furniture. Anyway, superheroes just aren't like that anymore. You know, none of this mushy comic book crap. What with the zapping around on a space sled killing slinky black cloaked bad guys. I mean, superheroes, a respectable profession, you know. Something you can put on your passport without being locked up in a wooden crate. But he kept on doing fooling around, so occasionally I took his power pack, because where business is concerned, I gotta put my foot down and...
Number three with egg roll.
Well, you gotta excuse me. I gotta fill this order form out. Anyway, it's been a real nice talking to you. Yeah, okay.
Recovering from his first tragic love affair, Azort decided to further his education in the superhero art. Unable to locate the O'Flanagan School of Camouflage, he chose instead to attend the Betty Bumbo School of Teenage Idol Comportment. As witness to the success this establishment had with Azort, we have managed to obtain the Tri-V tape of his first interview after leaving its program. Let's watch and see what happens.
Uncle Piggy Show! Hi, kids. It's time to settle down 3 inches away from the color set with your special plastic Uncle Piggy Secret Decoder Truss and your ultra-deluxe Uncle Piggy Police Band Police Detecting Radio Receiver for some really fun stuff. So get Mom off to church and Dad off to the golf course, because here he is, the pig with a badge that doesn't mean anything, Uncle Piggy!
Oh, thanks, Bart Flem. I mean Art Flem. And thanks to you kids in the studio for drugging your parents so that you could be with us today inside this electronically controlled electrode implant studio enclosure. Oh, and wow, what a show we've got today, too. Right, kids?
Right.
Tell them who we've got on today, Larry.
This stupid show. God, I don't feel like reading this crap. I got friends, you know. The union's gonna hear about this.
Now, Larry, settle down. It's not...
Oh, well, Uncle Larry has the flu, so I guess I'll have to tell you who we have on today. Except I don't know who we have on, so we'll have fun waiting to see who shows up, okay? Oh, but first, let's watch a really fun cartoon, okay? For sure!
The Adventures of Funny Fuzzy Wuzzy Bunny. Today, Bunny tries to cross the highway.
Hey, Funny Fuzzy Wuzzy Bunny, where are you going?
Hi, Berserker Bear. I'm going down to cross the highway.
Oh, gee whiz, can I come along and watch?
Why, sure. Come on.
Well, there's the highway, Funny Fuzzy Wuzzy Bunny. I don't see any cars.
Bye, Berserker Bear. Here I go.
Oh, what a fun, fun cartoon. Okay, settle down, kids. Now, I'm really proud to bring to you, for the first time on our program, a very special guest, all the way from Sweden. Helga, the world's only dog trainer who works entirely in the nude. Oh, but first, these two happy words from our happy sponsor.
Buy this.
Or get your mother to buy them, eh, kids? Sure. Okay, now, let's bring out Helga, the naked dog trainer. Oh, hi, Helga.
Hello.
Well, Helga, as you can hear, the kids in our studio sure love your costume. As I'm sure do the kids at home, eh? Yeah. But just why do you work naked, Helga?
Flesh Ripper won't let me wear clothes.
Flesh Ripper? Oh, that'd be this little fellow right here, eh? Hi, boy! Oh, lost a finger there.
Yes, this is Flesh Ripper.
Oh, yes.
And this is Blood Drinker over here. Two of my best pupils.
Oh, well, tell me, Helga, is it true that dealing with animals like these lead to a very special relationship between the animal and the trainer?
Oh, yes. Would you like me to show you?
Oh, yes, how delightful. Right here on Uncle Piggy's stage.
A Flesh Ripper? Here, boy.
Oh, but what about Blood Drinker there? You just let him go.
Oh, yes, he wants to be.
Oh, well, isn't this fantastic? What a show this is turning out to be. Let that dog into the studio audience enclosure.
take the kids off electron control and let's see what happens. Yes! Oh, yes. If you tuned in today, you got an extra special show, eh, kids? But right now, let's watch a cartoon and come right back for more of the Uncle Piggy Show.
The Journeys of Space God in the Outer Spheres.
Where will you now, Space God?
Is this mine to ask, O Elder Dios of the Higher Light? Is not my causal fate a mere plaything of those that will be? Have I not cast lots on the witch planets? Was it not my alter brain the serpent men stole as I roamed the waste plains of Zandalar? Tell me this, O sage of many faces, where now for this empty god of space?
This, then, is a matter greater than you or I. Let us go forth to the cosmic center.
And wasn't that a fun cartoon, kids? Oh, yes, indeedy. And you know who Uncle Piggy's next funny guest is? It's that big, funny robot and funny superhero, Azort Starbolt. Oh, so come on, kids. Let's clap our hands as he comes on. And don't throw things, and we won't let that big hungry doggy out again. Okay? And here he is. Hi, Azort. Say hi, kids.
Hello.
Come on, Azort. Tell the kids what a big, funny superhero like you can do.
I can crush things with my hands.
Oh, what a funny robot. Isn't he a funny robot, kids? Funny, funny? Now, really, Azort, the kids in the audience and at home all want to be big superheroes.
I like crushing things with my hands, and sometimes I put them in my mouth.
Oh, that's great. Isn't he great, kids? Sure, better in a cartoon, eh? A real live laugh-a-minute robot right here on Uncle Piggy's show. So let's all say goodbye to
Azort. I can crush things that fit in my hand like this. Here!
See that? Careful, Azort. That's Uncle Piggy's microphone. And it's
and
attached
I beat
to...
the Uncle Piggy's neck.
I hate it!
Azort, put it around the head, Fred! Fred! I can
Time and a couple of reprogrammings mellowed our android until he was the trustworthy, heroic battler for justice that we know today. But even then, as a superhero, he was incomplete and therefore not listed in the Yellow Pages. He had to have a slightly brainless but endlessly humorous sidekick to get him out of tough spots and spill things into atomic reactors. He went through a microwave toaster and a self-powered vacuum before he happened upon the insignificant and somewhat oddly shaped planet of Grainram 3, on which lived the very oddly shaped creatures that call themselves Laughs. These strange people stand on the average about 3 feet tall and spend much of their time picking plasticine from between their toes. In a very fortuitous accident, Azort made the acquaintance of one particular Laugh that went by the name of What? This little fellow could not only talk properly, but was very good with light bulbs and could get his own Dixie cup without crushing it. Azort knew he had found his man. For this special presentation, the drama department at Bark 9 has prepared a short visual theatrical dramatization of that famous meeting with Arnie Gluttner as Azort Starbolt and Teddy Drax Plunkett as What the Laugh.
Thank you.
Drama Department at Bark 9 presents Two for Justice, starring Arnie Gluckner as Azort Starbolt and Teddy Drax Plunkett as What the Laugh.
Hi. Hi, I'm Azort Staffield. Starbolt. Famous space android.
I'm What the Laugh.
Yeah.
Good. How you doing?
Not bad.
That's good. Fine.
I'm really pleased to meet you.
Good. Is that all?
Have been listening to Two for Justice, a special presentation from the Drama Department at Bark 9, starring Arnie Gluckner as Azort Starbolt and Teddy Drax Plunkett as What the Laugh.
This was only the beginning of many adventures for this fabulous fighting team. The most famous of these was their latest battle against that scourge of the skyways, Belphod the Nebulous, who had teamed up with Transfor Gro and the Federation of Mutants to terrify the universe with a hologram monster and a lot of cottage cheese. We'll have some scenes from that fantastic contest and a recent interview with Azort himself after these important messages. After these important messages. We'll be seeing those messages and some action-packed scenes from...
Hey, what's going on back there? Would somebody do the switching back there? Bob? Hey, who's that back there? What are you doing? Get off there!
It's walking! Damn electric! I'm on Kawa Cosmos, but I am Captain Magneto. I have taken over this Tri-Vision station as a mere sampling of this awesome power I will soon unleash upon you all. But first, I'll get on camera here. How do you get into this stupid studio?
Listen, I don't know what's going on here, but someone's messing with the circuits, and that's not a lot. Hey, can't you guys see?
Right, Cassius. Well, here I am. Don't know, get the color on my face. Right. So you thought it couldn't be done, eh? Well, I, Captain Magneto, have done...
It is my duty at this time to interrupt our regular programming for a special news bulletin. At exactly 11:45 Eastern Pulsar Dateline time, the BAR K9 Trivision Studios, situated on the Raylan Power Stream in the Renular System, was occupied by a force of 3,500 Trofarnite Beastmen under the leadership of exiled supervillain and one-time lion tamer, Captain Magneto. At this point, there have been no casualties, but Bark 9's special program on Azort Starbolt was preempted. We now return with you to that special program and a recent interview with Azort Starbolt.
Started! What's going on here? Who's responsible? Get us back! We're on. Look at me. Aren't you awestruck by my mere presence? Wouldn't you love to humble yourself at my sacred feet? What do you think of my cloaking? Like the way it glows? Ha! What's that? Well, then get the color-working freak. Stupid beastman, can't do a thing. Well, now to my terrifying announcement. I will tell you now that at my disposal is a power more awesome than ever seen before on daytime television. It is a power more universal than any credit card known to man. More destructive than an entire room full of poisonous flying ants. It is at my leisure to command as I wish. It is the power of gravity, and I will use it to control you all. In 24 hours, unless all my demands are met, I will permanently revoke the law of gravity on every planet in the known universe! Oh, thank you. Very good. So now, my demands first. You must make me the king of everything, with lots of girls. Okay, get out of here, you mutated marsupials. Are you trying to...
Interrupt our regular programming at this time to update a special news bulletin made earlier. Captain Magneto, still occupying the BAR K-9 Trivision studios with his mercenary army of beastmen, has just announced that unless he is made king of everything, he will revoke the law of gravity throughout the known universe. It is not known at this time whether in fact Magneto has the capability to accomplish this act, but we will keep you posted with up-to-the-minute news bulletins. In the meantime, let's return to our special program and a recent interview with Space Android...
What sort of interruption do you take me for? This is my... Okay, we're on. All right, you guys. You want to see if I got the powers, do you? You don't trust old Captain Magneto, eh? Well, I'll show you. Unfortunately, we still have a bit of problem with range, so as a demonstration to you all, I will degravitize this asteroid. Are you ready? Well, then, get ready. The switch. Right. Ready. Let her go! You see us begin to float. Think what chaos this would cause on the speedways running through your hometown. Think what would happen to that stupid pet goldfish with the... Hey, watch that camera, would you? Don't let it hit me! The cord! Grab it! It's burning the switch! Off the switch! You imbecile, you destroyed!
Our regular programming at this time for a further update to the happenings at the Bark 9 Trivision Studios. Captain Magneto, in demonstrating his ability to degravitize a planet, used the Bark 9 asteroid as an example. Mishandling of weightless equipment soon started a fire on the premises, which are now being quickly evacuated. We will keep you posted on further updates to these happenings, but right now, let's return to our recent interview with famous space android, Azort Stark.
No!
Get on with that interview and cut this crazy stuff, eh, Azort? Trivee's really gone downhill since the old Uncle Piggy days.
Sure thing, what? But I've got to admit I wasn't really watching. I'm busy trying to think of some evil alien invasion to combat. Or maybe some darkly voluptuous data processing computer to save from the clutches of some beastly berserker. You know, I'm tired of this boring, peaceful period. I gotta get out and do something. Get my joints greased and unclog this circuitry. Turn off that bloody Trivee.
Me too, already. I'm sick of this stupid cottage cheese. It's hard enough to eat, but you have to make me sleep in it too? I could use some plasticine right now like anything.
It's not a plasticine, but a change of scene that I want. And maybe a wrestling match with that little air conditioner I met on Vargas 7. Come on, little buddy. Let's hop in the solar sailor and see what's happening.
I'm with you, Azort. Let's hit the radiation road.
What are they doing? Don't they see what's going on? Will Azort wake up in time to foil this fiendish plot before the universe is left without a floor to stand on? Won't somebody do something before it's too late? Oh God, is this ever exciting? But don't run away yet, because this is just the end of part one of this amazing two-part explosive drama, and part two will begin after these portentous messages.
Hi, friends. And you too, Mom. I know there's not much I can tell you about your children that you haven't already been told that you thought you knew, but here's a little warning. People and college graduates should take a closer look at those little guys scampering under football fields and WC fields, and that's why we're here. The Beat Your Children Foundation has you in mind. Can you really be sure that Tommy or Susie or Abdul aren't in fact an invading race of funny-talking dwarves from a little-known planet outside our sphere of influence? Of course not. And who doesn't? You can't be too careful, And there's reality behind that claim. Please send contributions in bundles of three to the Beat Your Children Foundation in care of this station.
These men have a radiation fever from too little shielding in their cheap little imported space hopper. Wouldn't you rather drive a brand new servo cyborg semi-sentient Starfoot 23? That human brain in the bar gives you more safety for your universal credits, cause he knows that if you go, he goes too. Now that's driving pleasure. See the complete Starfoot line for 23 at
Andy's Inn of the Stormfield dealership, just past the Desolate Mile. Set your auto guidance to T64220, reference grid 90, and ask for Andy.
And Andy will send you down to Smitty's, right, John?
Right on, where they sure will depress your lever.
Meanwhile, somewhere in Iowa.
Martha? Martha, that stupid guard is in the garbage again.
I tell you, Bert, if that son of yours doesn't stop these disgusting mutilations or munitions or whatever he calls them...
Mutations.
I'm going to get really riled, and I don't care how many prizes he sends you win, and no stupid interlunar science fair, because it just ain't...
Hey, don't get too close there.
I'll kick one of his hideous heads off, or I will... Oh! It's got my leg!
Don't struggle. Stay still. I'll get him. Junior, stay still. Junior.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm going to be sick.
Junior!
And that's just some of the great random pleasure sequentials that'll melt your circuitry twice a day on this channel. Bill and the boys in the back splice together some of the highest in hallucinogenic happenings to accompany your every electrosynthetic need. So lie back, attach the electrodes, and take off on Magna, the only station especially for androids.
In big trouble, and if he doesn't do something mighty quick, well, I hate to think of what'll become of last week's unsorted mail. Let's take a look as he and What the Laugh partake of the street of unbridled sin on Madcap Varga 7 as we enter part 2 of episode 1, chapter 2 of the adventures of Azort Starbolt, Space Android.
Gee whiz, Azort, do I get the first line in this scene?
No, I do.
But I've already said it.
What?
Yes?
What did you say?
When?
Just now.
Oh, about this scene?
What scene?
Azort Starbolt, Street of Sin scene, take two.
You must...
Oh.
It's the first line in any scene in which he plays a major or sub-major protagonist, or for whom the scene in any way represents a major revelation of character and or plot. It's all in my contract.
Oh, yeah? Let's see.
Here we are. Line 14, it says...
Hey, boys. Looking for some action? Vargas style?
What?
Hey!
Come on, guy. Don't be shy. You're where the action is now. Come on in.
Meanwhile, not very far away as the parabolic thought curve flies, but at least 4 parsecs by tour bus, Captain Magneto rallies his confused and unruly beast men.
So, get in line, you stupid animal. You'll get your meat. Your favorite kind, human flesh. Seems my little threat went unheeded, and so they will.
Not so, Captain Magneto, no. Two men are outside who want to make a deal with you about...
Ah, the fate of the universe, no doubt. God, we're getting somewhere.
Well, not exactly, Cap. They said they're from the Inner Pulsar Amusement Company, and they saw your show and want to make a deal with you about a couple of those anti-gravity jabs.
What? This is no Uncle Piggy show I'm running here. How dare they insult my awesome power?
But they said it would be great for kids.
Yes, that's true. I can see it now in golden lights. Ride Captain Magneto 0G trip to the sun without leaving the ground. Yes, it has possibilities. We'll take their money and feed them to Glantia.
Thank you, Master.
Yeah, but the universe has insulted me once too often. I remember how it all started when I was still in Junior Villain High. Many, many years ago. I demand to see my lawyer. I'm the great Captain Magneto. Didn't you see my show?
Okay, Lieutenant, book him. And shut that guy in the funny cape up. What was that, Captain?
I must have faded into flash forward instead of a flash back by accident. Let's see if perhaps I can get it right now.
Gee whiz, Susie, I've never had fun like this before.
Do you have to wear that stupid glowing cape all the time, Bozo? You're such a stupid groat. Your feet smell.
What did you fade it for? It was getting good.
Something's disturbing the radio field. I can't seem to get a decent flashback, and I think I know what it is. That super sap startles in his quadrant, and he'll have to be my first target. Quick, Targo, I want you to send spies in every corner of the sector and find that android so we can...
But why? In the last scene, I remember them saying he and Watt were on Vargas 7.
I know that you don't, but we have to pretend that we don't because you see in this show we're supposed to be in a separate part of the universe and we aren't supposed to be able to hear the rest of what's going on, so it can all seem authentic.
Captain Magneto's spies scoured the sector until they discovered that Azort and Watt were in a house of ill repute on Vargas 7, and Magneto dispatched his army there immediately.
The announcer comes in and tells everybody that we've been searching for him, when in fact we haven't, because we've been here the whole time, and this is just a radio play anyway, and nobody expects...
So what's the hurry, what? You didn't have to rush me out of there just as I was getting that water heater to boil. What makes you think they're all sick in there?
Didn't you hear the announcer, man? He quite clearly called that place a house of ill...
Hey, you guys! You're supposed to be when you leave this place! Somebody get those guys!
Uh-oh. Looks like we forgot something, Azort. We better kick up some space dust.
Good thinking, little buddy. Hop on my back. I'll use my little jetpack action. Ready? Let's go!
So Azort and Watt, using Azort's built-in high-density thrust jetpack, travel high over the city of Kroom Pal on Vargas 7 until they near the outskirts, where Watt spots a landing force of Captain Magneto's powerful Beast Army.
Oh, no, looks like trouble.
What'd you say?
That's an army of beastmen down there. We'd better steer clear.
What's that, eh?
I said we'd better not go down there.
Good idea. I'll go down to that party so that I can hear what you're saying.
Oh, no!
There. Now, what was that you were saying?
Well, well, what luck. Look who's dropped into our little festivities.
See, I told you it was a party. What? This man in the funny glowing cape here has invited... Hey, wait a minute. Funny glowing cape, odd shape nose, sure. I know you from somewhere.
What do you mean by odd shape nose? It is...
Of course, the Betty Bumbo School. You were the one with the crazy fits every 15 minutes, sure. What was the name again? Sergeant Mundane? Private Mongoloid?
Captain Magneto.
Right, you're the guy. But what are you doing around here?
I'm beginning my triumphal conquest of the universe.
Oh, ambitious fellow now, are you? Well, I wish you luck, but my sidekick and I must be running along.
Not so fast, Android. You fit into my plans. By destroying you, I will set an example for the rest of the universe. An unshakable testimony to my irresistible force to show that I cannot be stopped. So if you don't mind, you can surrender quietly and we'll painlessly melt you down into a pool of reusable tin in full view of 100 video lasers so that the entire universe can witness the beginning end, can mark with horror the very hour that feeble fates were signed, can... What are you doing?
Oh, didn't you know? That's right, you went out for the beers. Well, during the ads after part one, I took the liberty of having my forearms fitted with automatically adjustable long-range moleculizers, which I'm just now activating. There we are. As a rough example, how about that ugly army of beastmen you have over there? Horrible eyesore. You see? Very efficient in their power consumption, too. A bargain at twice the price.
Yes. Right. Well, that's very nice and all. You wait right here. Quick, Targo! Throw the switch! The switch! There, you think you're so smart, Mr. Superhero? What can you do when there's no gravity?
Oh, no!
What can Azort do? What weighty decisions can he make considering the gravity of the situation? What hope for an upside-down android? Find out after these few words from our sponsor.
Necromancy. Ambergris. Stunted. Paste wax in a can. Thank you.
again. Welcome back to the stunning conclusion to episode 1 of chapter 2 of The Adventures of Azord Starbolt. Magneto's mistake.
Wowee!
Very impressive, Magneto. But it seems that you have overlooked one major point.
What's that?
The fact that not only I, but everything else on the surface of this planet, including yourself and your space shuttle, are affected by the total lack of gravity.
What? You're right. Why didn't I think of that? Somebody get me down. But what about you, Azord? Why aren't you affected like everything else?
Help me down, Azord.
Grab onto my hand, little buddy. There you go. Now, in answer to your question, Magneto, any school child who has taken elementary robotic history is well aware of the fact that
in 1999, Dr. Farnsworth P. Gundelrandt perfected the independent gyroscopic gravitational unit to be installed in all androids after that point in time. This unit, invented primarily for use in salvage robots in deep space, allows the android to operate free from normal zero-G difficulties encountered by humans, because of an interlocking gravitational center at the robot's core.
Everything's flying off, Azord.
Of course. Without gravity, centrifugal force of the spinning planet shoots the atmosphere and all objects on the surface into space. Soon the planet itself will turn into shoe polish.
But what about the people in the city? What'll happen to them?
Well, you can't have a happy ending every time. They'll be sucked out into pressureless space, where their eye sockets will explode and their gruesome carcasses will float forever around the sun as a silent testimonial to their heroic martyrdom at the hands of the forces of no good.
Gee, can I take pictures?
Maybe later, but first, that spot in the sky over the desert should be our rising shuttle. So onto my back, what, and we'll catch up to it.
Can this be the end? Will Azort leave these millions of helpless people to an ugly but picturesque death? Has his compassion circuitry gone dead? What kind of show is this?
Hey, Lieutenant, who are all these people? What's this all about?
I've found these 8 million people loitering around the upper atmosphere of Vargas 7, and none of them will tell me how they got there. I demand to see my lawyer. I'm the great Captain Magneto. Didn't you see my show?
Okay, Lieutenant, book him, and shut that guy in a funny cape up.
No-ho! Wasn't that a clever ending? You bet it was. Just listen to what everyday people like you thought about it.
I really like to... Are you recording?
I think it's a good idea.
I think it's a pigsty, and if I get my hands on the son of a bitch, boy, he's a goner.
I was pretty positive, anyway.
I just don't get off on it. I can't wear my heavy clothes.
Jeff, you're so cute.
I unfortunately wouldn't be in a position to comment because, you see, it would be a conflict of interest.
No comment.
Absolutely wonderful, Jeffrey. Just a wonderful, wonderful machine.
I think it stinks.
What's the question?
Daddy, oh, you guys are so crazy!
It brought me closer to Godhead. Perhaps you would like a stick of incense and a little mescaline-laced prayer cookie. A small donation would be very, very nice if you could spare it.
And so, with a planet in jail, a Magneto on bail, and Azort and Watt delivering the mail, it's time to say goodbye to Magneto's Mistake. Episode 1 of Chapter 2 of the ever-illegible adventures of Azort Starbolt, Space Android. Magnetically metamorphosed on this tape were the sonic seasonings of the Ambrose the Fay Memorial Corollaires, featuring John Coneskin as Azort Starbolt, Targor the sponsor and Sarge, Alpha as What the Laugh and Glunt, Randy Williams as Doug Kennel and Susie, Craig Mackey as Anything He Could Get, Roger Griffiths as Uncle Piggy, Rick Jones as Captain Magneto, Gantro Tungsten, Martha, and the Australian Cod Peace Dance Ensemble, and of course, myself, your humble announcer, Jim Morrigan. Also appearing courtesy of the hospital ward where they're usually kept on weekends were such easily forgotten guest stars as Dave Lett, Rob Braid, Jeff Creighton, Dave Schutte, and Sergeant Eric Dormer. Azort Starbolt is an audio adaptation of 3,000-year-old Tibetan scrolls and is produced in the studios of Radio Carlton by Jeff Green. Jeff would like to thank Alfred and Noradrenaline for their aid during the production of this show. But it's time to go, so goodbye, everybody, and we'll see you again in the next traction-packed adventure episode of... Azort Starbolt, Space Android!